This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.
Hi everyone, it's Holly from Pretty Big Butterflies and Holly Plus. I'm super excited to be on Bump, Baby and Beyond from Emma's Diary. Today I'm joined by Kelly and Zoe from Our Transitional Life. It's so amazing to have you both on the show. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you. So
we've been following your journey and love how positive you and your family are. Now, while most of us have seen you on places like This Morning or read your story online, for those of our listeners who may not be so familiar with your channel, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Zoe.
Lovely to meet you. And do you want to tell us a bit more about yourselves?
Yeah, we started our blog in August. Yeah, I was going to say August.
Summer, first June.
And I'd already been blogging for a while, but we totally rebranded the whole thing and started afresh.
Oh, wow.
Because Zoe came out to me as transgender about 6 months before. And it's just gone from there, really.
Just talk about transgender issues and our life, just trying to be a normal family, fitting in, really.
Yeah, so you've got a blog online and you have social media, and that's kind of your platforms online where you've been documenting your life, I suppose, to everyone.
Yeah, Instagram seems to be the strongest place at the moment because it's so visual and you can do lots of stories so people can get a real insight into your life, I think.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of support on there, so it's like a little safe haven, it feels like, to us, I think.
We started to do a lot more vlogs on YouTube and some blogs on the website, which is ourtransitionallife.com.
It's easy.
It's fun. It's good, I think, to raise awareness and more visibility. And
definitely.
Normalise. Normal-ish?
We've never been normal.
I mean, you know, what is normal? Yeah. You know,
exactly.
This is the thing, isn't it? So you've both been really open about the fact that, Zoe, you've come out as transgender. And can you share how you first explained that to your little ones? I think your little ones are around 8 or 9 now, is that right?
9 and 10, yeah.
Yeah, 9 and 10, close. Yeah, 9 and 10, yeah.
It goes so fast.
It does, doesn't it?
1 minute, then 1 minute.
I know, I have a 3-year-old and a 20-month-old, and honestly, when someone asks me what their date of birth is, I can't remember. I'm not lying, I have kids. Yeah, I just can't remember. It'd be just interesting to know how you approach that with your little ones.
I started talking to them at first because I knew how much it was eating you up not being you. So I just asked them the odd question over a few weeks, just asking them a few questions, like how they would feel if, I can't remember the wording really. Was it if daddy was, I don't even know if it was daddy, if it was mummy. It was more along the lines of how would you feel if at the time your daddy would dress this way? And their genuine reaction, and I'm not making this up, was, you know, as long as you're happy. Like, they just wanted you to be happy, didn't they?
I think when I first came out, I was in between male and female presentation, especially with work and things in university. I didn't feel ready at that point straight away to come out to everyone and to take that huge leap. To be fair, it only took about a month max before I did.
Yeah.
But in that first month, I was going to work dressed as a male, coming home and changing into female. And one, it was mentally messing me up a little bit.
Yeah, it must have been draining. Yeah.
That was a stressful time, I think, for you. Yeah. And you didn't look like you when you used to come home from work, obviously, because we were used to you at home.
Yeah.
It was really weird. But they just wanted you to be happy. They just want you to be happy and be you.
So you did these kind of, I guess, little conversations along the way.
Yeah.
Was there a moment where you actually kind of sat down and said, right, this is the situation? Or was it just a natural progression where it just, this is what's happening, this became the norm within our family?
It was quite gradual. They've always been kind of educated on gender differences and kind of breaking barriers and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
George has got really long hair, he gets misgendered all the time. Mm. Molly's really, like, you know, put the she in Shiro and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they're already really aware. We read lots of books to do with identity anyway. We just got more books in. Books were like the biggest thing for us, just sitting and reading books that told those stories that accepted everyone for who they were.
So it's almost as though, you know, your kids were kind of aware that, you know, people are different.
Yeah.
Everyone's different in life. And actually now our family is a little bit different, and that's okay. And it seems as though that kind of those little conversations you had didn't kind of come as a huge surprise on
them. They were almost prepared for it already, and they've just taken it in their stride. They've adapted so fast. Yeah. I think as adults, we could learn so much from kids.
Oh, like, you know what?
Lack of judgment and
100%
acceptance all around.
Yeah, it's kind of like it is the way it is. Like, kids are very matter of fact, I think. It's like, you know,
be nice to me, I'll be nice to you.
There it is. It really is. It's sometimes, you know, for kids, it's that simple, isn't it? You're so right. Sometimes, I guess, we put so much pressure on ourselves on how our children are going to be or how they're going to react to something that's changing. We need to give them a little bit more, you know, benefit of the doubt that, you know, they're quite robust. We were saying earlier how robust babies are. And I guess, you know, in kids, as they get a little bit older, that doesn't really change, you know, they're strong little beans, I think.
We've got a friend who's also transgender, and she says to us, children are the first to notice and the last to care.
I really like that phrase. I'm gonna keep that one. Say that one again.
The first to notice and the last to care.
Yes, that is so true, isn't it?
Move on.
Yeah. So with generally in life, do you feel that gender plays a role in parenting anymore?
I don't think it has to. I mean,
it probably doesn't it?
Just in the respect that I think you need to make people aware and teach the children about genders and your understanding of it, and just being open to.
I think it depends on your family setup as well. Like, I've always been based at home as well, so that's probably not the best. That is kind of a stereotype, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but that's your life. You know, you can show your children that it doesn't have to be that way, though.
Yeah.
But working from home is great, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. I do. For a little while, I worked from home, and my husband went to work, but now he actually has the kids a lot more than I do. Yeah. And people always say, oh, you know, you're really lucky to have a husband who does that. And I'm like, oh, well, hold on a second. Like, you know, why do I have to be lucky that I have someone who does that? You know, it's a joint. Yeah. Parenting is joint, isn't it? It doesn't matter, you know, who you are. The parenting should be a split thing here.
Yeah, I think that we're all kind of, there are some, it's kind of, what's that word I'm looking for? We've all got these preconceived ideas that maybe that have been, you know, like kind of
ingrained.
Yes,
definitely.
As we grow up, and even you don't realise you've got them until you're facing something that's different.
Yes,
I think maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think it's only when you go for experiences, isn't it? It kind of challenges your thoughts and your behaviours, and you get to kind of have a bit of a reflection on what's going on, you know. But I think that's what life's about, isn't it, really?
True.
You know, experiences and journeys
and learning as well. We're very open. I'm still learning every day. Like,
yeah,
I get things wrong still. Yeah, I do.
It's so true, isn't it?
It's true.
So within your in your family, if you don't mind me asking, how is the word mum used from your little ones?
Honestly, originally I was really protective of the word, like, fine, mommy, like, what? I was. I'm not going to lie. At first, in the first few months, I was like, I don't know if I can get used to it.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely don't, because that is kind of like my role, my... Yeah.
So you felt
know,
like that was...
My identity.
That's your
term.
That's
but your... Now I'm Mommy Kel and you're Mommy Zoe, and it doesn't bother me at all. Like, and now I'm slipping into sometimes just saying, oh, go and ask Mommy. I don't even say the Zoe bit. So it was just getting through my own... arrogance, I suppose.
Well, I suppose it can
and
be
pride.
Like, not just arrogance, though. I guess it could be an insecurity as well, you know. There's lots of different emotions, isn't there, that it can
I think
be.
You just you get attached to something, don't
it
you
was, it was your kind of role within the family, wasn't it?
But it's just evolved again. It wasn't something we made anyone do, or
and that's it, the kids
it's evolved with the children
to call me Mono Zoe or Mommy Zoe.
Yeah.
So did is that something they chose?
They
come out and start saying that? That's amazing.
And it was
Mama
Zoe, wasn't
it? We didn't force them to stop saying Daddy. You know, if they wanted to continue saying that, we would have worked through it eventually. But I wasn't going to stop them from saying what they wanted to say.
It was just like a natural kind of progression. That's incredible. That's amazing. I love that. And has the role that you both play in parenting, has that changed at all? So I know, Kelly, you said, you know, you were quite, I'm the mom, you know, for a little while you was like, I'm the mom, and you know, that's my kind of, that's my name.
I still do all the washing. I still run her baths because she loves to be pampered, as she always has. She's more of a diva. has more time doing her makeup and hair and high all this stuff. Very high maintenance. We're very opposite.
Are you?
Yeah, like that. I'm not very high maintenance. I'm a whack on and go kind of person, but you're like But yeah, she's just got worse.
I spent so long in the bathroom and now it's falling apart. It's just like, I've got nowhere to hide.
I love that. That's so funny. And in terms of your parenting, so has one of you kind of been the more authoritative figure in the past? Has anything like that changed? Or has it all just been quite like 50-50 and nothing's really, really changed?
Personality-wise, has nothing massively changed. For me, I've not got this piece of me eating me up anymore, so I'm a lot less short-tempered.
Yeah.
And maybe that's now me softening as well with the hormones and everything else as well, and more acceptance within the family.
Yeah, of course.
But I don't think we've changed our roles as parents too much.
Personally. No, I'm in charge.
You're still in charge.
Nothing's changed on that front, clearly.
I'm just settled with it.
So, like you said, you've got two little ones who are 9 and 10.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, well done.
I try and remember numbers. I literally forget them in a second. So bringing children up as gender fluid or non-binary has been something that's been in the media quite a lot lately, and you know, things like social media are bringing it, you know, more to people's attention. So people like Paloma Faith, Kate Hudson, Angelina Jolie. What's your opinion on that? What's your stance on celebrities kind of bringing it to the forefront?
When we first had the kids, we were quite keen to not force blue and pink down their throats.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not to say we were against it, but we've always been bright, quite obviously.
Yeah, so I know you can't see, you'll be able to see a picture, but Kelly has gorgeous pink hair, which is amazing, and Zoe has gorgeous red hair. So yeah, definitely bright. And I love it, by the way, may I add? Yeah.
But yeah, so all of our clothing and toy and bedding choices were all multicoloured and bright and just like really creative and things. So when we then were bringing them up, we never wanted them to think they had to dress certain colours or had to pick certain things because of how they were born. We're not saying that they'll not want to do that as they get older, but I think...
Yeah, I think we've always been really open about it, and they they have had issues. George has had issues for long hair. Molly kind of like, she's quite into jumping in puddles and getting mucky, but she's also quite like, if you met them, you probably think we were kind of like gender, like, because he's very into dark colours and kind of, you know what I mean? Like guns and stuff. Yeah. But we haven't forced that. We've just been very much open. You know, he spent a lot of time playing with baby dolls until he was about 8, I think. Yeah.
I think sometimes it's just letting kids just be, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's not about, you know, you give them the choice and let them kind of go with it. You know, it's...
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, they are children and they'll, like you said, they're a lot more intelligent than sometimes we think. And even from, I mean, obviously everyone loves to dress babies up and make them look all, you know, lovely and cute. But there's so much more unisex stuff available now as well, which I think is great, where something, you go in and it's not like, this is for girls, this is for boys. It's just, these are for children.
Yes.
I remember when they brought the wellies out in John Lewis, and we don't shop at John Lewis much because we can't afford to, but on the subject, we went running in to look at the collection, and Molly was literally whooping in the shop because she was like, she gets really angry that, why is this for boys? Why is this for girls?
Boys section, girls section.
But also with bringing up children, if you're not going to force, if you are going to bring them up to be gender fluid or like, do you know what I mean? Like not force anything on them. You do start to notice, I do with George, if we go out, he gets called a girl a lot. You do notice how people presume.
Yeah.
And also they don't like being called little girl and little boy. It's almost patronising as they get a bit older, like age 10. He doesn't want to be called little boy or little girl.
Yeah.
You know, people do make assumptions. Yeah. I think people should be a bit more. just open-minded. Kind
of, yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? I do think things like social media, it's helping.
Yes.
You know, I feel like there's more of a platform now. Like, you guys have got your platforms. Mm. People can reach out more. They can find out more information. And sometimes it's just about seeing different people, you know, diversity across the board and making people realise that actually there are different people. People live different lives. Yeah. There's different ways of doing things. And I feel like, I know celebrities on one side are, I think they're a little bit of a different kettle of fish because of, you know, where they stand and, you know, the kind of, I guess, the platform that they have. But sometimes social media, I think you can find people really relatable, you know, like, you guys, this is your real life. This is what's actually happening now.
Yeah.
And I guess people relate to that because there's not these, you know, stars and bright lights.
Yeah, it's real.
Your family, average family, you know, who could be my neighbours, you know? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And to be fair, I've got quite a nice neighbours, but I wouldn't mind if you moved in, to be honest. I wouldn't mind. Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
We are nice. We do give cakes to our neighbours.
Well, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
So what I'd like to know is, what do you do in a situation where there's a child and they say, Mummy, is that a lady or a man? Because I have a 3-year-old who's very inquisitive, and we went into a shop recently, this is like not long ago, and it was a man behind the counter with long hair, and he said, Mummy, it's not a lady at the shop, it's a lady and a man at the shop. And I was like, well, actually, I kind of think that's the best we can do right now, like, as a 3-year-old. I was like, okay, yeah, it is they're so little. But, you know, How can I answer that question as he gets older?
We've been asked this before, and I got it wrong. I basically saw it from our son's point of view, who's got really long hair. He would say things like, oh, get to know someone and then get to know their gender. But I thought it would be fine for you to ask someone. Like, I genuinely did. It was completely innocent. We had this conversation where I was like, well, you know, this woman asked us. And I was like, oh, maybe they could just approach the person if they thought they were friendly and they wouldn't react badly. And then Zoe educated me on the right thing to do.
Okay.
And I wanted to slap myself on the face.
But it is sometimes we have to ask the question.
Yeah, very true. And get things wrong to learn, I think.
If you know the person who is the transgender person, maybe they can be pre-warned and prepared for it. But you don't know what kind of day that person's having.
Of course.
I can walk around on my own, potentially, out and about, and try to keep my head up and be as strong as I can.
Yeah.
But inside, I could have had the worst possible day. I could have had abuse thrown at me all up down the street, and inside I could be dying. As soon as I walk through the house, I might burst into tears.
Yeah.
And if a child would then go and question me in the street, I could get seriously upset with that. I wouldn't want to stop a child from learning, but I think from my point of view, if my child was to ask that question, I would probably say, does it matter?
Yeah.
First of all.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I don't know. Maybe that you could potentially see how they're trying to present.
Of course.
But then there's so many categories and levels of gender at the moment that it's hard to say. And I would try to educate based on their age. So if they look like a woman or try to look like a woman, then I'd say they're a woman. And then as they get older, teach more about the points between the ones and zeros, basically.
Of course, yeah.
I remember you turned to me when we had that conversation and you said, would you do that though? And I was like, if I was with George and Molly and someone asked it, my response would be, does it matter? That was the most important thing, was actually... Yeah. We don't need to know. They're just a person, aren't they? And let's just be kind.
Yeah,
I wasn't even taking my own advice. Yeah. Like, what I would have done. Yeah. I was thinking more about in someone else's situation.
Yeah, of course. But no, I think that's a really good point that, you know, does it matter should be, I guess, the first point of reference, I suppose. So, yeah, no, I completely take that on board. With your situation,
it's a lot more
reference.
Difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
but he's only three, little, so. Yeah. But it's just, I think, you know, sometimes it's great to talk about things for me to now think, oh, actually, you know what, it doesn't matter,
think, if a child asks that question, you can lead with it doesn't matter, but then that's that's the starting point for that conversation.
Absolutely.
Then, to start teaching about different genders.
Yeah.
Get some good books.
Definitely. Yes. And I think it's really good, I think, you know, to start talking to children, you know, about differences in people, yeah. you know, as early as you kind of can, because they're quite, when they're young, it's easier conversations to have. You're going to have open questions and they're yeah. going to be interested and intrigued. So leading on from that, so Zoe, within your family unit, mm-hmm. So you was Daddy yeah. and now you're Mummy Zoe. Has your actual parenting change? Do you feel different, or do your children take to you differently? Do you do different things within the house, or how's that kind of transition been for you?
I think as a parent, I still am there for my kids and I still love them as much as I ever have.
Yeah.
And I think the main difference would be that I'm embracing my emotions a lot more, so I'm welcoming hugs and
yeah.
like affection a lot more now.
Yeah.
Which I think is helping us get closer.
Of course.
I still, you know, laze around and have my lazy baths.
I think everyone does. Although if you could see Kelly's face now, it would be like, yes, you definitely yes. do.
Spoiled. But that's fine. I don't mind. I like spoiling.
But yeah, I've never been a particularly laddish dad in the past anyway, so I'd never do the whole sporty stuff, and like we were saying on the way up about taking the kids to the park to play footy, and
yeah
I've never been into that anyway. I've always been creative, musical and
yeah. painting and stuff. Yeah.
yeah so I guess my flamboyance is just a little bit more now,
because obviously now you can be yourself exactly. and you're within your own home and you can just be yourself, and yeah. I suppose that's probably changed in the sense you said you can be more affectionate now because you're not holding that kind of thing inside you, exactly. you know, that huge amount of stress.
Before, I would have thought that being male, you're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to be affectionate and loving in that way.
Yeah.
That's how I was brought up, with a strict military upbringing. But now I've learned that it doesn't matter who you are or what you are. Why can't you cry? Why can't you give cuddles? Why yeah. can't you, you know, just snuggle on the sofa or
yeah.
whatever?
So do you think that mums and dads have different roles, or do you, what's your kind of take on that?
I think parents have different roles.
Okay.
In that you work together as a team and you find each other's strengths and work on each other's weaknesses.
Yeah.
My strength's taken out the bins.
yeah. But I think it's about working together and finding that right mix.
Yeah.
The education of gender and being a parent and life and everything else is, you each take it in turns to teach what it is that needs to be taught.
Yeah.
So
just finding the balance that's right for you when yeah, you're in whatever so. Situation you're in, isn't it? So I know we have spoken about obviously people's judgments and things like that. So I have to ask, when it comes to online mum shaming, which I think does happen, it's a slightly negative side of social media maybe. What's the reaction you've had to your story? How have people reacted to you online and things like that?
On the whole, I'd say we've been lucky. Yeah. We have had bad stuff, but not in relation to other people.
Really?
And the things that they get. We've been lucky. If we post something on another platform, because we worked with other people and they have it on their platform, we just don't read the comments.
Oh, yeah, that is such a good tip. For yeah. like, I think just, anyone who...
It's not worth it.
Definitely. Anyone who puts themselves out there who might be, you know, slightly different to what is classified as socially acceptable,
yeah.
Yeah.
just don't read the comments. Yeah. And it's very hard, but just don't
read them. It's hard because you want to read the positive ones and respond yeah. to them. And you know, if somebody's reaching out, and you're ignoring the comments because of the haters.
Yeah, that's very true, actually.
It's difficult. But
it is hard. Maybe as we get stronger, we'll yeah. read more and avoid the horrible. We've started confronting the horrible ones. If okay. someone sent us a horrible message this week and I just blanked out their name and shared it on stories, because yeah. I always try and protect you and delete them if yeah. I see them. But sometimes you've got to start making a stand and showing people this is what we deal with, like yeah. on a weekly basis. But again, I still don't think it's as bad as some people.
Yeah,
so I think we've been lucky. We've got a good community around us online,
which is great.
Yeah, I think, you know, it could change tomorrow, but at the moment,
we've been lucky so far.
We haven't had too much negativity. And a lot of it is ignorance. And yeah. I just feel sorry for people that have to attack us Definitely. The way they do. So,
you know, I think just if anyone is listening who kind of is experiencing that kind of, you know, trolling behavior or are scared to kind of be themselves because of other people's responses, I just think the key is that, you know, you're not living for other people, are you? And, you know, everyone can have their opinion, but like you said, it's about you kind of trying to take control of those comments.
Yeah.
And like you said, trying to absorb the positive ones because they're the ones that matter.
I think one thing I was told quite early on is if someone's got a problem with it, it's their problem, yes. not yours.
Yeah.
And that's exactly.
I'm obsessed with Constance Hall and the grief she gets on a daily basis. It just makes me feel like, if she can deal with that, then we can deal with what we get. I think people like that are amazing because they keep putting themselves out there.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you've got each other as well, that you're actually doing this together. And,
yeah, it's lovely.
You know, it's really nice to have, obviously, it must be amazing for you both to have that support, you know, while your life's kind of evolving. And to be able to do it online and have each other to get through that negative stuff must be really incredible.
We get messages as well from, either people who have come out to their partners or partners that have had their partners come out to them. And it's nice to be able to help them, give advice and kind of support them because they're struggling. So that's kind of that's why we're doing it. It's to help other people that maybe aren't strong enough and we're not always strong. No. But then again, like you said, that's being real, isn't it?
How have the children reacted with, I think I read before that you homeschool your children, is that right?
Yeah,
which is amazing.
That's right,
How has this kind of been with their friends? How has the reaction been from their friends?
Actually,
you should tell Hamish's story.
Oh, yeah. So George has got a friend who he used to go to school with before we pulled them out for home education.
Yeah.
Called Hamish, who he was asked... Well, no, it was a police officer came to their school to do a talk in assembly. And I think it was about different genders or something like that. And he stood up and said, "Oh, my friend's got a transgender mummy," and he was proud of that.
That's amazing.
It was awesome.
In general, from their friends, I think we're quite lucky because their friends are quite open-minded, whether it's the home education or just the type of friends that we have.
Yeah, when we go to home education groups, everyone's just lovely. They come over to you and hug you, don't they? Yeah. A lot of the mums, they're like,
that's so nice.
I get ignored now. It's nice.
Yeah. they're not really affected by it.
No.
And they're very open-minded. Again, we can learn so much from the kids.
Yeah. Have you got any advice then for people who might be in the same situation as you that have children and how you can maybe make the transition easier for them or any kind of tips on how to talk to their children about, their family life, anything
I
like that?
We've always been honest and spoken to them on an equal level.
Yeah.
Obviously with some... guarding.
Yeah, of course. Some
protection.
Filter.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But we've always been very honest and very open about a lot of things in life.
Yeah.
And with this, we spoke about it quite soon on, but we fed it in quite naturally. And I think just be honest and open with your kids and listen to them and, compromise, listen to each other.
I know not everyone has had the same experience. Some children might get bullied at school. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard much of that. Purely because of the people that we're friends with, I think maybe are quite diverse anyway.
Yeah.
But I think, with that, I think that's the schools should be stepping it up and in with things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
I know there's a bit more going on with that. There's a bit more talk of having people come in. We've been invited to a school. We haven't confirmed anything yet, but things like that, just getting people in to talk about different family setups and stuff.
Yeah, because people do have different family setups.
Yeah.
The 2.4 children kind of situation, there's so much more than that now,
Absolutely.
Isn't there? Everyone is so different now.
Yeah.
So with you sharing your story online, which I think is brilliant, what's the one thing you want people to kind of to learn or take away from you guys?
That we are normal.
Ish.
Yeah, I love that. Is that your tagline? That
it
has to be your tagline. Oh my gosh, that was that was rehearsed. That is brilliant. That has to be your tagline.
We've always been a little bit outside the box, but yeah, we're a little bit different, but we're normal. We're normal people just trying to bring up our kids and live our lives. And
yeah, we're not horrible people.
And hopefully teach people that, yeah, there can be differences, but everyone's just trying to live.
Definitely.
So unless someone's harming someone, yeah. Just be kind.
Like. Yeah. So parenting in general is hard, you know, without what else life throws at you. So have you got any advice just for parenting full stop? You've obviously got two children now.
Yeah.
Have you got any advice for any new parents that are listening to this, parents to be?
The best advice anyone ever gave me was a midwife when we just had George, and I was like, should I be doing this? Should I be doing that? Flapping in the hospital. And she just turned to me and said, he's your son. You choose. It's your choice.
Mm.
You don't have to listen to other people if you don't want to. Yeah. She wasn't obviously talking about dangerous situations, no. But it's your choice, you know, what he wears at this point, you know, how you feed, whatever you do, how you feed him.
Yeah.
It's your choice. And don't think that you have to adhere to other people's values or beliefs. It's your child.
Yeah.
And I think everyone is always so quick to throw advice, and that's great sometimes. And the media will always throw products and things that they want to sell you.
Yes,
you just got to do what's right for you and your child at the end of the day, and it will be right, because you will love that child and that child will love you no matter what.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree. I think sometimes have to follow your gut instinct or your parenting instincts, you know, when that kind of kicks in, and just kind of do what you think is right, because, you know, sometimes that is all you can do. And
even your parents will try to tell you things that, you know, they made mistakes on, but you're not going to learn from listening, because you'll be stubborn anyway.
Yeah.
And you have to learn through making your own mistakes.
Yeah, it's so true. Way. Life experience, isn't it?
Just remember, there'll be a lot of bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Yes. That's all I remember.
So anyone listening, that's a, you know, one definite thing to remember at some point throughout pregnancy and childbirth. And even in early childhood as well.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a lot of that.
Pieces are ready.
A lot of that to look forward to.
Yeah. Everything.
And I think it's great what you're doing. I think, like, I'm gonna follow the rest of your story. I think it's just great to have, you know, so many people sharing their unique lives online, because everyone's different. And I think, you know, we should just kind of embrace that. And my situation is just like, I'm kind of a fashion, plus size fashion person. So in terms of my life, like, the whole plus size side of things comes with its own, you know, goods and bads, you know, situations. But I think the more we start seeing diversity online, diversity in, you know, in the press and in publications and things like that, I think slowly, you know, people will kind of realise that there isn't really a norm, you know, life, there just isn't.
Life isn't monochrome.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank goodness.
Yeah. Thank goodness. I agree.
I can't even cope in the winter.
So I just want to say thank you so much, both of you, Kelly and Zoe, for coming in today. Can you just remind us what your handles are online, just so we can follow you?
Our website is ourtransitionallife.com.
Instagram is at ourtransitionallife.
Amazing. Anywhere else? Anything
it gets out? Complicated after that.
Fair enough.
Twitter and Facebook is pretty much
our trans life. Yeah, brilliant. And YouTube is our transitional life.
Oh, so, amazing.
You'll find
this. Thank you so much for coming in and sharing your story with
Thank
us.
Thank you for having
us. Really, really appreciate it. And it's been lovely to meet you as well.
And you.
And I want to go dye my hair now as well. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
This is Bump, Baby and Beyond with Emma's Diary.